Y'all please be seated. Did anybody notice our new sign on the road? One person. Thank you, Timothy. Yeah, we had a beautiful wooden redwood sign out there. It was all carved and painted real pretty. And last year when the huge winds came through Versailles, it took our sign and smashed it into a million pieces. So last week we got a new sign. It's metal, okay? If the wind comes, my money's with the sign, okay? But the sign's important, okay, because the sign tells us a couple of things. First of all, it tells us that this place is St. John's. We're not the chapel of the Baptist Church. This is St. John's Episcopal Church. Second thing it tells us is it gives us the address of St. John's. You know, if anybody wants to send a letter of complaint, the address is on the sign. Third thing it does, it tells us what time the services are. Okay, so nobody's got an excuse for being early, okay? Signs are important, and if you think about it, a lot of our life, okay, is organized and directed by signs. You know, we have signs on the road, we have signs at the stores, we have signs in our office that say we're allowed to do what we can do. Places of business have signs that tell the pilgrim there they've got a license to operate, and all that good stuff. So signs are really important in our lives. Even in the church here, we have signs. Things that tell us stuff. You know, we have a cross. We have stained glass windows. We've got the flag of the United States. We've got a flag of the Episcopal Church. We've got banners that tell us who was baptized. We have signs that tell us something. In the Gospel of St. John, Jesus never refers to any of his miracles as miracles. He calls them signs. Because what Jesus did was to give signs to God's children about how much he loved them and how much he cares for them and how they need to love one another and care for one another and be forgiving to one another, to be a sign. 800 years ago, there was a boy that was born into a very wealthy family. His dad was a merchant and he dealt in materials and cloths and clothes. Incredibly wealthy and traveled all over the world selling his cloths. So this boy grew up in a very affluent family and he enjoyed all the pleasures of life, had lots of friends and had lots of clothes and just lots of good times, because money was no object to him. But he had a nagging thought in his mind about people who were poor. One day he was working in his dad's store, and this guy came in and was a beggar. And he asked him if he could give him some money. And this boy thought, you know, I can't give my dad's money away because I'm in the store. And the beggar left. And the guy followed him and gave him everything in the till. And his father was furious. Any of your dads ever been mad with you guys? Yeah, me too. My dad was all mad at me, okay? Yeah. Dad was furious because he gave it away. And he disowned him as a son. Guy went to church, okay, and up above the altar was this crucifix. The church was at a place called San Damiano. And as he sat in the pew and focused his eyes on the crucifix and prayed, he heard the words of Christ, who said to him, "Repair my church." When he looked around, he saw it was kind of dilapidated, okay, and he thought, well, you know, I can do something here. So he went out and he sold his horse and he sold his clothes and he gave the money to the priest and the church was repaired. And a year later, when he was listening to a sermon, he understood that it wasn't just repairing the building of the church, it was also repairing the church. Because he heard a sermon on the words of Christ who said, I want you to go out there and tell people about me. But take no money, take no stick, and take no shoes. So he sold everything that he had, and he robed himself in a sackcloth, and he went and started to minister to the poor. What he found okay was that some folks wanted to join him. So he went to the Pope and he said, Pope, I'm sure he called him Pope, you know, or your Pope, Miss Holder, the call of Pope. Your Pope, he said, I want to start a monastic order that serves people who are poor. And the Pope said, fine. So he started this monastic order called the Order of Friars Minor. And he called it Friars Minor for a real purpose. He didn't want them to be major. He wanted them to be minor. A year later, a woman called Claire came and said, can I join your order? He said, well, you can live our way of life, but you've got to start the order for women. And she started an order called the Poor Clares. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Francis of Assisi, absolutely. When he was born, his mother called him Giovanni di Bernardo because his dad was in France. And she had to call him a name and get him baptized. And when he came back, he says, no way, we're not calling him no holy name. So he called him Francesco. We call him Francis of Assisi. I tell that story because Francis of Assisi had two things happen in his life that were signs to him. The first one was the cross, the crucifix in the church. It was a sign to him of God's will for his life. The second one was the sermon that was preached that focused God's will for his life. All of us have signs in our lives from God. Every time we say our prayers, every time we have a decision to make, every time we have a choice to make, every time we ask the will of God, we get a sign. That's the will of God for us. But the next step is for us to live it. Saint Francis, I believe, is the most liked of all the saints. But Saint Francis, I believe, is the least imitated of all the saints. I believe God called every single one of us not to give up all everything we have. He calls us individually with our own gifts and talents. He calls us with signs. And he asks us to be signs to the world there. Francis is the perfect example. And there's a prayer attributed to Saint Francis that kind of explains what it's talking about. So I'd like to finish with a prayer. Let us pray. Lord, make us an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.